Welcome to Cash Considerations, the podcast that takes you behind the Las Vegas sportsbook from the guys that actually work behind it, with your hosts, Alan Berg, Dave Sharapan, and Matoy Pearson.
Cash Considerations Airwaves, ladies and gentlemen, and we are coming to you with our 75th episode, some might say the diamond episode, which is pretty cool. And with me, as usual, is my man, Matoy Pearson. How's it going, brother?
Alan, my man, what's going on, man? It's a nice night tonight. You know, I'm ready to do the cast.
Yeah, dude. It's cool. We're approaching almost a year now with the show. Had some good guests on, and big year coming up. Football right around the corner, so it's the perfect time to bring back the man who started it all with me from episode one, my man, David Griffin. How you doing, man?
But what it do, baby? I'm always good. How are y'all?
Doing good, Griff. Doing good.
Man, it's crazy to think. Who would have thought way back when, almost a year ago, Alan, when we started this thing, y'all would still be going strong. I'm really proud. Yeah, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. We're keeping it strong. We're trying to bring out the good content. Tonight, we'll talk a little NFL preseason. We got a few college football games that are actually on the board to bet this week. And we'll probably touch on a little NBA season wins, which came out about, I think, a week or two ago. We'll kind of look at where things were and where they are now. But we got to talk to my man, L.A. Griff, first, as he's moved out to Los Angeles.
L.A.
now.
Griff?
He's going places, people. So, Griff, I kind of want to touch with you a little bit on NFL preseason. And what do you see thus far? I know that preseason, you know, there's a lot of overreaction to things. But is there any signs of, you know, a team that's good that's not looking as good, or a team that maybe people thought would be bad and look a little better than that, you think, yet in the preseason?
You know what? It's really tough. Preseason is always a tough thing. I mean, really, if you're out there betting preseason, you got that itch. You know what I'm saying? But
I do have that itch.
It's one of those things where it's still so early on. The games are so close. You really don't have much of an idea. One thing that just kind of strikes me is just how well some of these rookie quarterbacks are playing. I'm kind of impressed by what they're doing. And you know, I'm rocking with my boy Josh Allen. I hate Buffalo. I hate Buffalo because of all what they did this offseason, but I love my boy Josh Allen. You were his number one hater, and every time I see him throw one of those darts or run a guy over, I think, yeah, that's Allen.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't wait to see Baltimore up 21-0 in week one and just immediately text you. It's going to be incredible.
Immediately destroying those guys. But yeah, man, no, some of the things I think stood out. One game that stood out to me I got a chance to watch was that Patriots-Eagles game. Just the fact that it looked like the Patriots were trying really hard, which is something you don't normally see with a Patriots team in the preseason because they have an understanding of what the real goals are. But I do think a lot of the rhetoric that went around that team in the offseason talking about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the fact that they lost the Super Bowl the way they did, I think they're going to be super focused starting from preseason to let the rest of the league know we're still the Patriots. Like, no, make no mistakes. So I think that's a team we're gonna you're gonna want to look out for. A team, just my personal opinion, I know we had kind of talked about it, is last year I was really big on the Chiefs, right? And I was really big on this quarterback, Pat Mahomes. I thought he was gonna come in for Alex Smith and he was gonna lead him to the Super Bowl. And I am completely flip-flopping on that pick. Tonight, I'm letting y'all know this kid, Pat Mahomes, I don't know what it is exactly, but I have a bad feeling about what's going to happen there in Kansas City. I have a really bad feeling. And I don't know if you saw that game where they played the Falcons and he looked a little rattled, not necessarily, or he couldn't go through he wasn't processing his reads right. And for a kid who's supposed to be in his second year, and the kid's got the arm talent like nobody else, but for him to be in his second year, and it just seems like every play he's looking for the home run. And that, I know you guys seen it, that 7-yard bomb he threw to Tyreek Hill.
Oh, filthy. Like, filthy.
Just when you just see how far the ball travels, like you can't even see how high it is, but it looks like it almost hits the ceiling, how far he throws the ball to Tyreek Hill. And the biggest problem about it is he has a guy wide open underneath. And it's just like one of those things where it's like, oh, great. Like, you see the ball go up, and Tyreek Hill runs, just smokes those three defenders. But it's still technically triple covers that he's throwing into. And when you have a guy who's wide open underneath, he's going to catch and run for another 20 yards. And then that was the right read. So that's a team I'm kind of looking at, and I'm going, I don't know how this quarterback's going to work out.
I find it hilarious that I wonder if Chiefs fans even knew that ball was in the air that long. They probably figured they haven't seen it in years. Incomplete. Yeah, you know, with the Alex Smith dynasty that they had there for a while. Use that word loosely, of course. It was a hell of a throw. I mean, you know, I'm one that I'm not as concerned with guys that have the big arm because – it's not usually a high percentage pass, and it's not something you're going to do so consistently that it's that necessary. I mean, it's nice, of course, to have it. I mean, especially when you're trailing, you want to be able to get the ball down the field in a hurry. I understand that. But, you know, I want a guy that's hitting my targets from the 6 to, like, 15-yard range and consistently being accurate in those areas. I feel like that's what wins football, and that's why guys like Tom Brady have had so much success.
Totally sure. Agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, it's just kind of hard to really, you know, figure out just to, for the Chiefs offense to adjust to how Mahomes plays. And, you know, I think he's just so used to getting in, you know, in the games and darting them like he did at Texas Tech. But I mean, I figure with like his youth, he'll become mature enough to at least pick his spots early so he can get him down the field late, you know, even if he has to throw like 80 yards. So. You know, it, within time, he'll be fine, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and that, I mean, technically, that division is still kind of wide open. I'm not a big fan of what John Gruden's doing in Oakland. The Chargers look like they'd be the best all-around team in that division, but you know how the Chargers are. They never perform to what their talent is. And then you got the Broncos, who's their starting quarterback right now? You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. They're still talking about Colin Kaepernick right now for some reason. So it's like one of those things. You just don't know what's going on with that team. Their defense is just either old or done, even though I really like that draft pick that they got. So it's one of those things to where that division is technically still up for grabs. So they could win it. I could see at 9-7, but I can't throw all my, I'm pulling my stock from that kid.
If Keenum gets hurt for the Broncos, I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an absolute travesty. So
Who's the kid that passed Lynch on the depth chart? Is that some rookie or second round or second year guy?
Yeah, no, I was Chad Kelly.
That's it.
Ole Miss's QB. Yeah, he had some sparks in that Vikings game, that first preseason game. I didn't actually get to watch anything from this weekend, unfortunately. That's not a joke, but yeah, he looks like he has a clue of what's going on, and he's had a year to build within the offense already because he was there. So I mean, he might just have the spark before Lynch may never have it, or you know what I mean. So I mean, at least they got Kelly, somebody that has an idea. But you know, without Keenum, geez, like it could be bad again for the Broncos. Yeah,
I agree. I think the thing that's really going to hurt Keenum in that offense is the fact that he's really bad at throwing to the outside hashes, and if that wind is blowing in Mile High Stadium, I just feel like he's going to really struggle in those type of games. He had that comfort of the indoor stadium in Minnesota. So
true, yep.
You know, he did get a little exposed in Philly in that cold weather. I mean, I feel like he didn't perform very well in that game. So
I think exposes an understatement. Yeah, that was bad. That was unfortunate. It had to be the NFC Championship, too, of, like, all the games he's played in.
Oh, of course.
That was a rough one for him.
Well, that's when those kind of, you know, pretenders show up in the big games, man. And by show up, I mean help the other team win.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right, well –
I got a question for you guys really quick, just because I don't know. You guys are in the books on a regular basis now, and I don't know if you guys have been watching Hard Knocks at all or anything like that, but – I'm starting to feel like the Browns are becoming America's team, man. Like, I really like Baker Mayfield, and Tyrod Taylor has always been my guy. I liked him in Buffalo last year. Have you guys been seeing people come in and kind of showing confidence in the Browns, either betting on them to either win a division or at least win more wins, win above their win total. Have you seen Love come in for the Browns?
There's been a lot of confidence from honestly both sides. I've seen some respected people actually say they like the Browns over. I'm not saying I would be surprised if the Browns were to win 7-9 games, but I just can't get over the fact that they still have Hugh Jackson as their head coach. Like that, just, you know, talent can take you a lot of places, but that guy, I mean, I'm just so down on him. I just don't think he's a good coach, and I think their coordinators are horrendous, and I just feel like they're going to lose a lot of close games. I'll put it that way. I think their talent will keep them in a lot of games, and you're going to see them make some bad decisions or, you know, so just bad personnel alignments or not being prepared, getting out coached, all that kind of stuff. With that being said, I had to give up on Hard Knocks after I watched that episode with Jameis Winston talking about the pregnant cockroach, man. I was like, what am I watching? I was like, what is this?
That was like a more in-depth Hard Knocks, like when they get to that. I'm just like, well, okay. I mean, thanks, my man. But no, yeah, it's I feel like just in from America's standpoint, they like to back dogs.
Right.
The Eagles obviously had their dog phase, you know, that got them to the Super Bowl. But, you know, what better than a team that was, you know, 1-31 these last couple of years to actually, you know, gain momentum and possibly make a push to the playoffs? I mean, especially because of what's going on in Hard Knocks. You know, that could, you know, America would love something like that. Even though it's the Browns, it'd just be another good story. So that's like my only thing about it. But I just can't back them. I mean, I don't got anything, you know, wrong. There's nothing wrong with Baker Mayfield or my guy Duke Johnson, for anyone who's listening. but yeah, you know, it's just a toss-up, especially in a division like that, man. If they won four games, I would still think that was a great season for them.
My thing is this. If you're saying America loves dogs, like, well, do they have to pick the little dog that's in the blonde girl's pouch that David's probably seeing all the time in L.A.? I mean, like, they got to pick that dog? I mean, you want to look, you know, if you're going after a dog, you want, like, a street dog that, you know, is scrappy and, like, got injured maybe last year and is back, you know, like.
Well, now you got a guy like the guy that's heading them, like a guy like Baker Mayfield, who didn't get love coming out of high school, no love at Texas Tech, didn't really love him at Oklahoma, wins the Heisman. I mean, a guy like this, I mean, you know, like, I don't know if this could be America's poster child, but, you know, it could either flip one way for him or it could, you know, shoot the Browns into, like, euphoria. So, I mean, it's just another storyline, obviously. I'm just kind of you know, giving it to you, giving you my spin on it.
Right. Well, you know what? I'll tell you, I really like Tyrod Taylor. I think he will do great for this team. And, I mean, they took Baker Mayfield one overall, so there's no doubt that he's probably going to end up starting at some point in the season. But I think Tyrod Taylor is going to get them off to a nice start. And if Baker Mayfield does end up coming in, I think Tyrod will be the great backup. And get him really – make sure he's prepared every week, make sure he's in his ear, and making sure he's coaching him up. So I have a little bit of confidence in them. I have a feeling that – I'm just hoping that you won't see it reflect too much in the lines to where they're giving the Browns so much love that you can't take them, because I want to take them this year. But if they start giving them instead of it being a touchdown or more, you start seeing like 3 and 4 for their lines, I'll be like, nah, I don't like them that much. You know what I mean?
I really like running backs, man, and I'm a huge believer in not taking them in the first round, but I feel like that if the Browns had taken Barkley, with the fact that they had Taylor already, they actually might have been a shot at a playoff team, because when you have a guy like that that's just super dynamic and super special, that's like the only time I would ever draft a running back in that type of spot. And the fact that they had a good veteran starter that had been thrown to like three guys about as talented as us three out there trying to play for the Bills, you know, it gives me hope that he could run a good offense, especially with the way he protects the football and knows, you know, better than to just force the ball downfield in bad situations. So it's interesting that they pass on Barkley. That being said, I like the Mayfield pick because I think that quarterbacks do have to have an edge to play at this level. Doesn't always work out. There's for every, you know, Philip Rivers with an edge, there's a Johnny Manziel. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things you can't really predict, but it seems like he's got a lot more work ethic than I think people were giving him credit for. So long term, hopefully he is a great solution and a great player for a team that's been so tortured with especially their poor fans. So that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, years. They deserve it, man. They really do. I hope it pans out.
They do.
All right, one more question for you guys real quick before we move on. Andrew Luck played tonight. I don't know if you guys watched that preseason game against the Baltimore, but he looked really shaky threw a pick in the red zone. I don't think he's going to bounce back. I never was an Andrew Luck fan. Everybody hyped him up as the next best thing. Do you guys see him bouncing back, and do the books reflect the Colts having a better season this year?
I think it helps him out more that he is, like, available, even though it was kind of brutal to kind of throw him back in after he hasn't thrown for so many, weeks, months, a year, and some change. Yeah, man, I played Colts first half, so I wasn't really liking that interception that he threw to nobody. It's almost I was like, well, this is not what I wanted, but, you know, so, yeah, but down the stretch, I mean, the coach they have, was that Frank Wright? Frank Wright?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Is that the old Bills coach or quarterback? Yep.
Yeah. Right. So he's, I think he'll put in some packages for Luck to kind of get some short game going so I can get some confidence built up for him. And that's what it kind of looked like tonight. Like he was, you know, hitting some pretty decent throws down the middle of the field and hitting some guys on some shallow crosses to kind of get his momentum up. But, he's got Brissett behind him and, Jacoby's, one hell of a quarterback as well. But, just to have Luck right now, just with the team, with the organization, I don't know if he'll bounce back early, but I think he'll get better. And, his career is still, he's still got plenty of time to go. So I still got faith in Luck. I got faith in the Colts, actually, this year alone.
I feel like more concerning than Luck's performance was that, I've heard a lot about their offensive line being fixed or, better, yep. And they didn't look very good tonight. That might be, a preseason thing, but definitely concerned for a guy that, has been hurt so often. And I mean, he took a huge hit earlier in that game.
Did.
It just makes you wonder, like, is this going to be a continuation of what the guy's always had to deal with and have to run for his life like Russell Wilson does? So that is the most intriguing thing. But as you said earlier, Griff, it's hard to read in the preseason too much. So I think – most reactions are just not – we just don't know until week one starts kind of the thing. And even then, you still don't know who's good. So it'll take some time.
Yeah. I'm hoping the Lions bounce back for him because I want to bet against the Colts. That's a team that I want to fade them, man. I'm telling you. Like you said, I don't like their offensive line, even with Andrew Luck being back. And if it does turn out to be shaky, Andrew Luck's pretty much a cool-headed guy, but like you said, is it going to be more of what he's had to deal with already in his career? So it's one of those things to where I'm hoping that the Lions bounce back for them. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, Andrew Luck's going to be better, especially in that division, and then I'm going to fade him in all their games.
Oh, man. Well, that's perfect. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll get into the two college football games coming up this week. Stay with us. Well, we have some actual games that matter. We have some college football to talk about. Very
Hey-o.
Cool. So I know my man Mo is psyched. This is his baby, as you might say. So Mo, I'm going to kind of let you lead this thing off, man. Pick whichever game you want to talk about. Tell the people, I'm assuming these games are on television, I would guess.
I think the game that is on TV is Hawaii Colorado State. That'll be on CBS Sports. And then the Wyoming New Mexico State game is it actually just got a time change. It starts at 7 Pacific time, and that one might not be on TV for obvious reasons.
Okay.
So I'll jump into the earlier game, the one that's on TV between Hawaii and Colorado State. I think Colorado State opened as a pretty big favorite when they opened. I think it was around 16 or 17, and it's been bet down right now to 13.5 to 14. I think Colorado State's had some quarterback issues, and then Hawaii, they're probably on their way to a pretty bad season this year, man, with a lot of moving pieces. So, yeah, I mean, just within that alone, Colorado State's at home. Hawaii has to travel. They traveled last year and played UMass, beat UMass in the first game. They were a little bit well equipped that year, but they really have not too many people, man. It's I mean, I know there's plenty of college football games. I'd bet this one is a hard one. you know, for obvious reasons. Hawaii's going to be Nick Rolovich. That's their head coach. He's going to be trying to get them rolling on offense. He runs more of the kind of like a, you know, they're more of a spread type offense. Their receiver, John Ursea, who's their number one guy, he's probably going to get a lot of looks and people will be seeing him. He might get 200 yards this game. I think it's a potential overplay. I think the total's in the high 50s. But for to pick a side, man, it's kind of ridiculous if I can't get Hawaii at, you know, 16 or 17. So that's kind of my outlook on it as of now.
Looks like the total's sitting around 46 for the books in town that have put up a number.
Okay. Well, so I may have been looking at something else. I apologize.
Oh, no. I said the wrong game. Sorry. Time change got me. 58.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So I think that New Mexico is at 46, right?
Yeah. Okay. And that game's also on ESPN2.
Okay.
So they actually do have TV, yeah.
Nice.
So you got a two-teamer, people. You got a two-teamer or four-teamer. If you want to go total crazy.
We don't know much about the TVs, but we kind of know about the teams. So hopefully they're kind of bearing on that. Griff, you got anything to mention on this game here, Hawaii and Colorado State?
Yeah, I actually really liked Colorado State. Like you said, I just don't think – I think Hawaii's on to a going to have a really down year this year. Colorado State, they didn't finish the season strong last year, but they started off pretty good.
Yep.
They played Hawaii last year and beat them by like 30, I believe. So I liked Colorado State, but then I looked into the team a little bit and their head coach is actually was hospitalized with a numbness in his legs.
Oh, brutal. Mike Bobo
the last couple of Mike days. And really what troubled me the most about it is they had the offensive coordinator talking. He was like, well, if he doesn't come back before the game, we're not sure yet who's going to be making the calls for the calling the plays. And I was like, you're the offensive coordinator. Like, isn't that your job anyway? Like, I don't understand. So for him to be saying that, it kind of was all like, oh, well, that's not good. So I liked Colorado State going into it. And if it comes out and the coach is able to make it to the game and call plays, maybe call in on a cell phone or something. I don't know. Call the plays, whatever you got to do. Then I'm confident Colorado State will cover the points. But that's the only setback I have on that one.
They I think they're going to be starting because I think they're the actual starter Hill, the quarterback is out. He might not even play, but they got a new guy from Washington, KJ Carter Samuel. Was actually pretty good. He was a big name at Washington for a little bit before easing ended up going to Washington from Georgia. Mm-hmm. So that's why he made the transfer to Colorado State. So he might have, I mean, this is a pretty big game for him, you know, to show out, especially at home under that new stadium. So Colorado State could be a good play here, especially, you know, within two touchdowns, if they win by 20 or something, at least we'd understand it. Hawaii is going to be knocking at the bottom of the cellar with San Jose State, New Mexico, yeah, in the exactly. Mountain West. So yeah, I hear you. I'm on board with that.
Hey, have you guys ever seen the show Last Chance U on Netflix?
No. No, I've seen it, but I haven't like actually like sat down and watched through it though.
Oh, come on, get your lives together.
Oh my god.
Well, I just wanted to use a quote from the third season because not to go into the show, but it just is about like a JUCO. Okay. And the head coach from the third season, he's a maniac, like a literal maniac. And he had said, like, I don't even worry about what plays I call. He's like, I don't watch film. He's like, I have better players than they have, so it doesn't matter what I call. When they run out there, they just run through the other team and we win. And it's crazy because you're like, this doesn't make any sense. But now I'm watching this Colorado State-Hawaii game. I'm thinking, well, it doesn't really matter who's calling the plays, I guess, to be honest. Colorado State's got better players. Just run through them and you win.
Yeah, I just had this conversation with a good buddy, and he was just like, here, how about this? Don't bet bad teams. And I was like, well, I guess that's okay to an extent, but this might be the one that I'm talking about because, I mean, I just don't know how Hawaii is going to do it defensively, especially on the road. I mean, it could be a rude awakening for a dark season for Hawaii. So, You know, Rainbow Warriors, we apologize. Sorry. but not sorry. Yeah, your boys. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, you know, just off that, you guys want to step into this next game here?
Yeah, step in, man. Yeah, get between the ropes. Let us know.
Yeah, so it's funny. In this, I think this game opened around 6, or it could have got bet up to 6 in favor of Wyoming. Rotating. New Mexico State coming off their first bowl win in a bazillion years. So they're pretty – I'm pretty sure they're amped. They lose a lot of guys. Tyler Rogers, their starting quarterback. Their starting running back, Larry Rose, the third that got them to that point. But being at home should, you know, suffice. And Wyoming obviously loses a Griff's guy, Josh Allen, and a couple other offensive pieces, man. So Craig Bowles got a lot to work out here. Sharper bettors actually in the last couple weeks or so have betted down from 5 now to 3.5 and 4 around town. And like Alan said, I think the total is hovering around 45 or 46.
Correct.
Is
that 46 right? What I'm seeing here.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, on both sides, they're going to have to work out a lot of kinks on their offense. Wyoming actually returns a pretty decent defense, you know, probably top 60 in the country with their star safety, Andrew Wingard. Great guy, great ball hawk. He's probably going to be in the playing on Sundays, as we usually say when we see guys like that. So, I mean, I feel more of a defensive battle here. Wyoming has to work out the kinks. I think they got a freshman that might be starting, Vanderwall. I'm not really sure what his – I don't have anything in front of me. I think that's his name. But they say this guy's like the next up-and-comer. And Craig Bowles pumped out Carson Wentz and Josh Allen. So, you know, maybe a quiet, more quieter QB whisperer than most would expect. But I feel under in this game. I don't really have a side either. I mean, both teams are kind of dead offensively to me. So under would be my play if I was going to be able to give it out now. Plus, we missed out on a better number, obviously, with New Mexico State. So it's kind of rough pickings here.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just piggyback on everything that you just said. You pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. I like the under in this game. Like you said, I like Wyoming's defense. Man, I get to talk about my boy Josh Allen twice in one show. That's great.
Yeah. No, that's why I knew it. When we started talking about it, I said, no, he's going to be back. Here we go again.
And again, it's one of those things where you would want to take New Mexico, I feel like, New Mexico State at home in this situation. But, yeah, you missed the good number. It's being bet down pretty much everywhere. So it's one of those things to where you almost want to stay away from it at this point. It's almost, you're probably too late to the party. But I think with them losing Josh Allen, and I think Josh Allen's going to play really well in the NFL this year, and he's going to have like a nice little breakout rookie season. It's just going to show or highlight. I didn't think they used him well last year, Wyoming, and in that offense. So I think without him being in there, you're going to see with whatever quarterback they go in, that offense is probably going to struggle, sputter a lot. So, but the defense still is really good. So I expect it just to be a low scoring 14 to 21 game. So I would say take it under.
Yeah, both teams actually, they got I think New Mexico State has a pretty quick return. They play, I think, that next Saturday. And they actually have to go on the – or I think it's Friday. They play on the road against Minnesota, and they're already an 18.5 point dog, man. So, I mean, if anything, you know, tragic happens in New Mexico State, or obviously if they play worse, that line can be adjusted. And then Wyoming has to I think they're on the road against Washington State the next week, they're a 3-point dog. So, you know, like, obviously these teams have quick turnarounds. I can't really see too much of a look-ahead game because they're both in a new season with, you know, a bunch of new players. So I figure both teams are going to try to get at least a quick win here to build momentum to the games for the quick turnaround.
Sounds beautiful, fellas. Great job. Obviously, me not being the college football guy, I like to watch it. Don't bet it. I got nothing really to add here. So unless you guys
– That's still a good 2 cents. Hey, man, that's,
you
okay.
know, my 2 cents always count. I guess, is there anything you guys want to touch on, for, you know, obviously we're still kind of like a week away from a full slate. Do you guys want to touch on anything else before we head to the NBA totals?
Yeah, Griff, what were you thinking? Any games stick out or?
No, not yet. I haven't had a chance to really dive into the full schedule yet. But as soon as I get something out, I'll give you guys a heads up.
He's too busy watching Josh Allen preseason highlights.
Yeah, the footwork of Josh Allen.
Yeah,
which I'm okay with.
And Hard Knocks, okay, man. How are y'all not watching Hard Knocks? I'm watching.
Well, not all of us have that HBO money, bro. I got kids to feed.
I'm excited. You know, I've been reading a bunch about the college football. I mean, as far as stuff to touch on, I don't know if there's other games I can go over right now, but yeah,
that's cool. We can save it, man. I just wanted to make sure before we made the jump here to give you guys a last shot. So I'm just gonna step in then. Let's take the wheel. We got Westgate put out NBA season wins. There's been a few movements. Not surprisingly, most were overs. But we're just going to kind of play hot potato here for a second. And I'm just going to give you guys each a team and give me what you think it would be. Or if it's just I have no clue, stay away from that team. So, Griff, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to give you the New Orleans Pelicans at 45.5. You go over or under there?
I'm gonna have to go with under there.
Okay,
may sound a little crazy. I know Anthony Davis looked really, really good last year, but I don't think that they got better this offseason. They did pick up Julius Randle, which is nice. But for him to try to replace Boogie, even though he wasn't there at the end of the season, I just think the West got better. Obviously, LeBron moved to the West. I just think a lot of teams in the West are just going to improve and just mature. And I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year.
Very cool. All right, Mo, you're up next, brother. Orlando, 31.5.
Oh, man. Well, anything that I've seen the Magic do during the summer league doesn't count, but they were terrible. I mean, for most of it. Yeah. Who do they return? They got Gordon coming back, Isaac.
Mo Bamba
comes, is there. So, I mean, they'll have a lot of key pieces, obviously, that'll grow and mature. And I think Gordon might be heading the way, right, as that team's best player. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, 31, I mean, it's not a stretch for over. I'd just lean under right now from what I've seen from these guys. It's obviously way too early. But they might, I think the Magic still have, a ways away. So, if they end up at 30 or 29, I think that'd be fine. Like if I seen it, I'd be like, okay, I can understand. So
right.
Just on that alone, I'd be
right
under.
All right. I got one more for each of you guys. All right. So, Griff, I'm going to give you the Denver Nuggets 47.5.
Holy smokes.
That is a lot, but I actually like them to go over.
Okay.
Denver Nuggets is one of those teams that I'm really excited to watch this year. I was actually really excited for their draft pick, too, because I think Michael Porter Jr. is – when he's healthy, I thought he was the best player in the draft. But it looks like he's probably not going to play at all this entire season. They're probably going to sit him out, which is a shame. But I think with the young core that they have maturing – and then they'll have Millsap, and hopefully he'll be able to play a full season this year. I think that team is going to be on the rise. And then just in the West, like some of the teams that were kind of at the top, I just don't have as much confidence in, like the Portland Trail Blazers, like the Pelicans. The Spurs will probably still be the Spurs, but then you got Utah, you got Oklahoma City. I just think that Denver and that young core, them playing together again for another season, is going to be able to move them up the rung. They'll definitely be in the playoffs.
Cool. Awesome. Nice. All right. Last one, Mo, and then we'll probably touch on the heavy hitters here, but I just want to throw a few of these out at you guys. Let's go with the Detroit Pistons, who opened 37.5 and have been bet up to 38.5 with my old coach, Dwayne Casey, coming over from the Raptors. What are your thoughts on the Pistons, Mo?
I like Casey here. I like the Pistons over. I actually think they'll with Drummond heading leading the way, I think they'll have a good season. The last couple years, they've had the players, they've had the pieces. It's just kind of something in the locker room that could have been, I don't know if it was Stan Van Gundy or what, but I actually think the Pistons are on the rise this year. I was just talking to somebody about the Pistons, and incredibly, what a coincidence. But
sick segue.
Just within itself, I mean, I like the Pistons over this year. I think they'll be way better. I think they'll be in the playoffs as well. So bold call.
Wow, very cool.
But I like the Pistons this year.
All right. Well, let's kind of just touch on some things here. I mean, obviously, I'm sure everybody wants to know about the Bostons, the Houstons, the Golden States, the Lakers, the Bucks, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Raptors, the Spurs, the Jazz. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, is there somebody you think that they went too low on? And I mean, feel free and ask if there's a couple of these that you might not remember off the top of your heads. Is there any team you really want to talk about?
I'm curious. Where do they have Oklahoma City Thunder at?
Oklahoma City opened at 50.5 and is down to 50.
Down to 50.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I'm looking at that team and I don't see that they improved at all. And it was almost one of those things from the year before. They got Paul George and they got Carmelo Anthony, and they literally won one more game than they did. And then now they lost Carmelo, or they got rid of Carmelo.
Well, they were plus six. And they were actually plus six with Paul George, but lost 5 wins due to Carmelo being on the team.
sounds about right.
Right? So it's one of those things to where now in this offseason I'm going like, I just don't know where the improvement is coming from. Like, they just kind of just seem like we're just going to put the same product out there and see if it's better this year. So I'm almost tempted to bet them under. I feel like a lot of the teams in the West have improved and they've stayed the same.
What seed was OKC last year? They were
they ended up being
5 seed?
Yeah, they ended up being the 5 seed playing Utah. I believe Utah had.
Yeah.
No, they were the 4 seed.
About right.
They were the
and
4.
And Utah was the 5 seed.
Yeah, cuz they had home court. Yeah.
We called that upset on the podcast too, that the Jazz were going to win the series.
Yeah, it was kind of a unanimous deal too. Yeah, which was probably one of our best ones. I'm assuming
NBA,
right now.
Yeah.
What's the Pacers total?
Indiana 47 and a half. Pacers.
I like the Pacers. I think they're getting better, and I think they got a Aaron Holiday. That's a younger brother of Drew Holiday, and the other Holiday. If he's listening somewhere, man, I apologize, man. I forgot your name. Justin Holiday. But they get Aaron, and I think this guy is for real. I think he will spark the team. And with Victor Oladipo, they got Miles Turner. I think this is a team that, could be a prototypical 4-seed, 3-seed in the East, a wide-open East. I think they got more confidence after last year, and maybe where teams might – or maybe where people think they might break down after a season like they had. I actually think they'll continue to get better with Oladipo running that show with Holiday at the one. So I think the Pacers, it might be a good overbet here. Might be a team to watch out for in the East as a sleeper as well to, try to get to a championship.
Yeah, the East is an interesting beast right now because with LeBron going out West, it's almost like, all right, Cleveland's not going to be any good. Do we just take some of their wins and just add 2 to everybody's totals? Right?
But then you
got the idea that Boston is supposed to be like the man this year, right? When they get their 2 best players back. So it's almost like you want to just spread those Cleveland wins out around everybody, but then at the same time, Boston might just come through and be like, nah, we're scooping all those up dog. Like, don't even worry about it.
Well, I like to actually kind of base it more like on the seeding, because Cleveland's always up there, what I mean? So, like, this might open it up for some of those teams that were 4, 5, and 6s to actually build more confidence to get into that top, 1, 2, and 3. Because, I mean, we've seen the Sixers, the Celtics, the Raptors get in there. Now we might see a few more teams that are not Cleveland. And, it'll be more exciting to watch, in my opinion, even though I'm not really a big NBA guy to begin with. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, something like that might
be. Man, the Southeast is trash. Pretty cool. Atlanta, Charlotte, Miami, Orlando, and Washington.
Oh, smokes, man. God. You don't like the Wiz? You hating on the Wiz, man?
Oh, hating on the Wiz. They got Dwight Howard. Man,
they kept clowning John Wall, man.
I know.
He was looking rugged out there,
I've been trying to trade that guy to every team in my fantasy league. Ain't nobody bit yet.
Oh man, they caught him on three different pictures. I said, my man, he's just having like a bad week. You know, give my guy a break. Jesus Christ.
Oh man,
man. Yeah.
All right, fellas. Anything else you want to touch on here?
One more that I'm curious about. Where do they have the 76ers at? Because my disdain from the 76ers has not recited. So where are they?
All right. So since you don't know, what do you think the total is?
Considering the season they had last year, they probably have it at like 50.
54 and a half.
54 and a half. Oh, please take that under. Everyone who hears this, please run to your nearest book and put all the money on the under. Listen, I know you're probably thinking like, oh, they did so good last year and Cleveland's not out east and they finished the season on a 17 win, blah, 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 blah. Look, they lost to the Boston Celtics like fourth stringers and like in five games. I'm like, that's bad. They're not, I still just don't see this as a good team. I think they had a good, close to the season, which happens, right? Even happens in like the NFL. It's almost like, okay, who's hot? You know what I mean? If you can go into the playoffs in the NFL and you've won like your last three, four games, you got that momentum. You almost don't even want a bye week. You just want to just keep the momentum going. I felt like the Sixers had a little bit of that with that 17 game win streak that they had going into the playoffs, but then they ran into the Celtics and got whooped by all those third stringers. Like, no, I don't see this as a great team. I don't see this as a 54 win team. Take it under. I don't care what anybody says. I don't. You can't be a great team in the NBA, and your starting point guard is talking about switching which hand he's shooting with. Did you guys hear that? Ben Simmons says he's going to start shooting with his right hand.
I'm hoping it's better. Hopefully it's better. I will say this,
the hope that Ben Simmons has is once upon a time it took Jason Kidd like 9 years to learn how to shoot. So
yes,
at least somebody could do it. And so there's hope. There's hope for Simmons.
We're driving the Jason Kidd narrative for Lonzo Ball and Ben Simmons too far. let's just look at it how it is. I mean, are they gonna ever shoot the ball ever? I mean, I don't know. They got enough, you know, like presence to get open, and you know they got. But you know, once they start getting that stroke, man, then we'll take them serious. But I mean, they're still great players, nonetheless. You know?
Yeah.
But well, I don't even watch the NBA, so you know, my take is irrelevant here.
Well, Lonzo Ball has a history of shooting okay. Like when he was in high school, he shot at a good level, and in college, he shot at a good level, and he's at least willing to take the shots. Ben Simmons, I believe they said he took 10 jump shots outside of the paint last year. Like,
yep.
There's no confidence in his jump shot. And I think teams have caught on to, hey, let's just leave him wide open. Let's just pack the paint. Because if we just pack the paint, and it'll make it harder for those two guys who kind of just dominate with their size, him and Embiid. Embiid can shoot from outside, which is crazy. So him is a little bit of a more difficult matchup. But other than that, man, I think it's just one of those things like, hey, let's just pack the paint and force them to do something. And then they lost a lot of their shooters from last year. So we'll see.
Ben Simmons' lasting image in the playoffs was that one they had the meme.
We don't need to go into this. We really don't. <All right. laughs> They decided the 60-1 ticket. We don't need to refresh history, man.
Well, that's we're not killing that. Although unfortunately it's a part of this, you know, so
no, it's all good. I appreciate it. But hey, we should kind of wrap things up here, fellas. I'm gonna kinda give each one of you guys like 30 seconds so you can just fire off whatever you want to talk about real quick. Griff, I'll give it to you first, man. You're the guest, the original, the LA Griff, D Griff. What do you got, my man?
Honestly, man, I just want to use this 30 seconds to tell you guys again that I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. I'm really glad and proud of the way you guys have taken the show. Made it all the way to 75 episodes, man. That is a big deal. Don't let nobody tell you guys anything different. Going on a year anniversary, man. You guys are doing great things. And I know the show is just going to continue to grow. I see what you guys are doing behind the scenes. And I see what you guys are doing in your personal and professional lives. Again, just really proud of you guys. Keep moving, man. Keep doing big things.
Love it, man. Mo, what do you got, brother?
Griff, I appreciate everything you just said. man, I'm about to cry. Unbelievable. I'm not even kidding, man. That was special, man. I'm glad you guys actually had me on, and you know, for Alan to believe in me to actually keep things going for the moment, even though I might crash and burn later. Before this whole thing goes down, I wanted to say a big thank you to the Las Vegas Aces.
Knew that was coming.
Yeah, he already knew. Unfortunately, they couldn't beat Dallas on the road. Kind of took him out of the playoffs.
Time's
there,
up,
but...
man. You used it all.
No, it was a great run, and it punished Fezzik's under, man. Aces went over. I'm loving it. You know, next year they'll be in the championship. I'm calling it now.
Ooh, hot takes. All right.
Oh, man.
Well, for LA Griff, from my man Mo, we'll see you next time on Cash Considerations.